music lovers, music aficionados, music novices, music fans of any kind of race, gender, creed, walk of life. Welcome to What Are You Listening To? I am Brock White.
And I'm Luke Jansky.
And we have coffee. We have the Christmas spirit. As we record this, it is a very balmy 51 degrees in North Dakota. Unseasonably warm for this time of year. But this is a special Christmas episode of What Are You Listening To? Luke and I are both, I think I could say this for you, huge music, Christmas music fans.
Yeah.
We love this time of year. I love everything about it.
The coziness of it, it kind of gives you the nice warm tinglies and the chest and, I don't know, a little bit of nostalgia memory. And it's not to love.
The memories of a kid, the music puts you in a spot, maybe a song you sang when you were in school. Or a song you remember from a certain Christmas day. Or
a Christmas movie.
Anything. Memory. I mean, there's so many songs we have on our list I know that are tied to movies, Christmas movies, and just good memories we have. And it's all about nostalgia, all about those good feelings, and that's what Christmas is. And so we have the coffee, we have the music, and we're going to bring to you a very special edition of What Are You Listening To? All Christmas, nonstop, wall to wall. Some classics, some not so classics, some new stuff. Some traditional, some pop. We have it all on this list.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's good. We're very varied.
Yeah, between the both of us, I don't think we really missed anything.
No. So as we sit in the office today, I just got my brand new Liverpool Football Club scarf.
Yes.
I'm wearing it to be very Christmassy right now. It's red and green. Christmas colors, trying to make it pop a little bit in the studio today. But Luke and I are enjoying coffee. We're talking about how... Last episode, we talked about how it's good to get older
because
things are better. You find the good restaurants. You find the good pair of shoes.
The good coffee. Good.
You find the good music, the good coffee. And here we are now with I'm into coffee, soccer, and comfortable clothes. that's what life's all about at this point, isn't it?
Yeah. I feel bad. I feel like I should have worn some Man City stuff. I feel underdressed now.
Liverpool, man. That's where it's at. I love it.
I don't mind Liverpool. I'm a Man City guy, though.
It's funny because we talked about this in one of the shows. It's my soccer fandom is new. It's only weeks old. It's infantile stage, the newborn stage. But man, I'm loving it right now. I love everything about it.
You're into it. You dived harder than I did when I decided to get into soccer. So it's
when I find a team I like, I support all the way. I support them. So I got my Liverpool Never Walk Alone scarf on. I got my sign up and everything, and we're all into it. But this show's about music, man.
Yeah, I suppose.
Should we just jump into it? Usually we have a little banter, but we get to the list because I think the list will bring back some memories.
Yeah, I think
the songs will. Maybe some stories too.
Let's get into it.
So we're gonna kick things off as always. We, you know what though? As I talk about that, I realize I don't have the list on my phone. I'll play it. We'll find out. Let's play the song and talk about it. I'm gonna go blind.
You want to go blind?
I'm not sure what I'm introing. We'll just go blind.
I could text you the list quick.
You sent it to me, but we'll just go blind.
Sure. Whatever
we'll play
you want to do.
About
it's Christmas.
First one's mine. I know it's Bon Jovi. So here we go. Not Bon Jovi.
It's
Bon
the
Jovi
Eagles.
Covered the song. It's the Eagles.
Yep.
You got the list?
I got the list.
You intro the song. Let's
all right, first
let's flip the script. It's a Christmas miracle. Let's flip the script today. Let's go.
All right, first up, Brock's got a Christmas. Oh, man, I went radio there.
Hey, it's anyway. Time for the Garter auction, folks.
Please Come Home for Christmas by the Eagles.
Oh, I love this song. Here we go.
Bells will be ringing. The sad, sad news.
Okay, not your feel-good Christmas song. Not the typical, you know, deck the halls, silver bells, all this and that, Silent Night, First Noel. But something about that song hits me in the holiday spirit. I don't know what it is, man.
Maybe it's some high ringing pianos that...
And the song, and he says Christmas in the song a million times.
Yeah, it's funny when I heard, because I didn't know the Eagles made a Christmas song, and then I
they
pushed
made a
played
Christmas
on it.
Album.
I pushed play and I was expecting, like, you know, the Eagles that I know. And anyway, I don't. I've had a long
day. I've had a long
day
to hate the Eagles, man.
But,
Are you not an Eagles fan?
No.
Really?
No. I don't dislike them, but I don't like them.
This is a shock to me.
Yeah.
I never knew this about you.
Eagles. It's one of those things when people put it on, I understand why the Eagles were the Eagles.
Oh, man. My Eagles love is endless.
And so I have no, like, hate or, like, whatever.
It surprises me, Luke.
Yeah.
They were the first, like, pop country mega band of the 70s. They created a whole genre, pretty much, a whole sound, for better or for worse. I think for better, but
because I have nothing bad to say. I have nothing good to say. I'm very neutral on
the Eagles.
On the Eagles,
you're not the Big Lebowski.
No, I don't hate the Eagles, but I don't like them either.
This song to me, I always I've seen many times over. It's the closing time at the watering hole, mm-hmm. the drink at the bar somewhere, and this song plays. There's always a guy with his beer, staring at his beer. That's the image I always get in my head when I hear this song. Just a guy staring at his beer by himself at a bar on Christmas Eve. I don't know why it's sad and lonely, but to me it's still like Christmassy. It's weird.
Yeah, but that's part of Christmas though too.
It is all the emotions.
I've had lots of wonderful, lovely Christmases, but I've also had Christmases that I think were emotionally built up a little hard on just how Christmas is, and you get to the day and it's a little off-putting, you know, and that's just part of the whole beauty of Christmas, you know.
You have good ones and bad ones, like everything else.
Yeah.
We put so much into Christmas, too. Sometimes we have such high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
They don't quite hit that mark, and you're like, Christmas.
You know, I was, this is like 5-6 years ago, I was coming back from like the cities or something, playing a show, and I had stopped in Bismarck to stay there on Christmas Eve. Or I was stopping on my way through just to get some coffee and rest my leg or stretch, and stopped at a buddy's house, and his, you know, both sets of parents were there from, you know, my buddy's mom and dad's, you know,
parents,
and then their kids, you know, were there, and then the kids were opening presents, and I was hanging out, and I'd never been around kids in Christmas, and
that's
was like
the best part.
Yeah, kids really do make Christmas.
Adults at Christmas are assholes.
Yeah,
kids are great. They go open the presents, they go nuts, they got the whole Santa Claus factor, and it's fantastic.
They are the X factor Christmas. I decided
it changes
after
everything.
That
it does, it just changes the whole dynamics. Kids are make Christmas so much more better, and I can tell for myself. This is the first Christmas I've shopped for kids with my girlfriend and the two girls. Mm-hmm. Fun.
Oh, I believe it.
So much fun. It's just great. The whole dynamic changes for Christmas because it's like, I got to get so-and-so this or that. And it's like, it's still fun to give. But with little kids, it's just like, it lights their life up.
Yeah. And, you know, I've known both those kids since they were in diapers, you know. So it was really cool.
There.
And I was just like, oh, okay, I get it. I get why moms are the way they are and dads and all that stuff. It's
good.
Cool.
That's good, man. So you're the mix master. What's next on our list, Luke? What is your
next
first
up? Level? I had to put it in. You know, in my younger years, I was very unabashedly a Mariah Carey fan.
Before we even did this episode, I knew the song would be on the list.
I knew you would know.
I knew the song would be on the list because you are a Mariah Carey mark.
Yep.
You're nuts for her. That's okay.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of the most quintessential Christmas songs of the past 25 years.
Have you seen that video of
the Goth Kids?
Goth Kids. Thank you.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard. Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, next up we got All I Want for Christmas Is You by Miss Mariah Carey.
Everyone knows it. Here we go. Let's go. I'm dancing.
Yeah.
I'm dancing in the studio right now. I can't help myself.
It's Mariah Carey, man.
How does that not put you in the Christmas spirit, people? Let's go.
So next up, we got a mutual love of this artist, Mr. The Boss himself.
Oh, Merry Christmas, baby.
I would say for both of us, top five
definitely
artists.
Yeah,
you know,
I'll say this for me, it's him and Garth go back and forth sometimes.
Oh wow,
that's how much I love The Boss, and it's the best concert I've ever seen in my life. The best. It was a 4-hour Spirit for the Awakening. 4 hours. 4 hours he played. 4 hours.
And he's like in his 60s or 70s.
60-some years old. Yeah. And he's crowd-surfed. Crowd-surfed across 10,000 people. So, Springsteen, Merry Christmas, Baby. It's a live cut from one of those compilation albums from back in the day.
Yeah.
But do yourself a favor. Hop on YouTube tonight or whenever you hear this, Christmas morning, whenever, and watch, look, search for Bruce Springsteen, Merry Christmas, Baby, Conan O'Brien. And it's about 2002 or so, and Bruce sings the song on there. Max Weinberg, of course, Conan's drummer, was also Bruce's longtime E Street drummer. The whole band's there. The whole E Street's there. They have gifts. Andy's there. It's hilarious. It's funny. And it'll put you in a good mood right away.
Oh, check that out.
Check that out. You'll enjoy it. If all the listeners, just do it. YouTube, Conan O'Brien, Bruce Springsteen, Merry Christmas, Baby, and you'll laugh, 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 laugh. I think I share it on Facebook every Christmas Eve for the past, like, 7 years. So that's my thing. So here it is, The Boss.
I came down the chimney, 3:30, with lots of nice little presents for my baby.
Boss.
Why don't we properly appreciate the E Street Band like we should? I mean, you and I do, and a lot of people do, but they should be held in such high regard.
Maybe people just don't know. They're just so used to it.
They took it for granted, you think?
People love
the Boss, but yeah, we got to show the E Street some love. Clarence and the whole deal, and Stevie and
all of them.
The whole band.
And they're so good at throwing like little extremely complex nuances in music that you just, unless you have to go play it, like you don't even know it's there, then you're like, holy cow, that's hard.
When Clarence sneaks that saxophone riff in there in this song.
Yep.
I think it's Santa Claus Coming to Town, a little riff of that he sneaks in there.
I'm pretty
bom,
sure.
Bom, 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 ba-dun, dun, dun. Oh, it's Jingle Bells. He does Jingle Bells, he riffs on. He sneaks that in the song at a certain point, and it's just like, yeah, Christmas baby. And it's like, puts it, you want to talk like Bruce. You just want to.
Ah, man, and you know, speaking of Clarence, what a tough job that would have been, especially like, you know, in the early and mid 70s when Bruce was kind of in his beginnings, you know, and it's us beyond a perfectionist, you know.
Yeah.
Like to fit saxophone in that music and make it feel right.
Flawlessly.
Yeah.
Flawlessly fitted in there.
Like it would, after hearing those albums, now that I think about, like, I don't know if I could listen to them without the sax parts. I think it would be weird.
It's like we talked about, if we could be famous musicians, I'd have the biggest band on earth.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have a 20-piece band. It'd be great. It'd be great. All right, what do we got next? What's next on your list?
There's a mutual friend of ours that every time around Christmas this year when we're playing video games and we got the headsets on, eventually one of us will start singing this, and it's usually a month straight of somebody singing this every night. Not every night, but every night we play video games together. From the Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh special South Park album, we have Eric Cartman's rendition of Oh Holy Night.
When I saw this, I bow dropped my phone. I laughed so hard. Here we go. Oh, that's the wrong button. Here we go. Do we want to have a real quick discussion about how insanely musically talented and influenced South Park guys are, Trey and Matt?
Oh, yeah. To sing in proper key in a voice that's not your own. Like, that's...
Didn't they win the Grammy or the Oscar for...
the
Blame Canada? Blame Canada. They were nominated for Best Song in a movie that year.
Yeah, pretty sure. They had
They put a musical, The Book of Mormon, on Broadway, and it sold out for how many months, years in a row? Blackout nights. It was crazy. They had what else has music in it? Didn't Orgasmo have a huge music thing in it too?
It might have.
A lot of their stuff.
Team America.
Team America has great music parts in it, and they sang and do it all. They're fantastic.
Well, and it's not so like the even like the voicing of how they voice things and like the way they do everything is very still comical, and you can tell it's for a purpose. Where like Family Guy for me in the past, you know, I've
Seth MacFarlane wanted to show off he can do Broadway.
Yeah,
and be a crooner. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah, it's very see through. It's very transparent.
Yeah, it's like, look at me, I'm Seth MacFarlane. I can sing like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Okay, we get it. Cool.
Yeah, cool, bro.
Yeah. All right. I was funny the first time 20 years ago.
Thanks. Yeah.
But no, they're talent. They're really good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's South Park.
I feel like, again, like we don't appreciate them enough either.
Okay, here's my thing with South Park, not to get off the music train too much, but okay. Name one show that has consistently called out just politicians, famous people, anything that's called them out on their BS, like in the best way ever. Like, what episode was on the, what was the name of that, like, clairvoyant guy back in, like, the 90s or 2000s? John Edwards, I think, was his name.
The psychic?
Yeah, that episode was on at the bar. Yeah. That episode was on at the bar the other night, or last night when I was finishing up work, and it was just hilarious how they called him out, and I don't know. That show, it deserves everything.
And they do everything in a week when they're writing episodes. It's all fresh. It's the same week. That's
very
incredible.
Topical. So, anyway, yeah.
Kudos to Matt and Trey. Geniuses. Geniuses, my friend.
Next up,
okay.
We got...
okay. The drug's bad, okay.
We got Mr. Paul McCartney, Wonderful Christmas My mom's a big Beatles fan, and I didn't know that that Paul McCartney had done this song. And so I had to text my mom and be like, "Do you remember that?" She's like, "Oh, I knew this song. Well, this is a good one."
This is also a polarizing Christmas song.
Really?
A lot of people. This makes a lot of worse lists every year. But this is a very holly, jolly song, a very cheery, and it puts me in a really good mood. And when I hear that,
I bet you that's what throws people off is the electronics in it.
I think it's great.
I liked it.
It was the time. It was late 70s, early 80s. And it was his Wings period. It wasn't 1969 Paul McCartney.
Right.
So here we go. Wonderful Christmas time.
We're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
I love so much solo Paul McCartney stuff.
I think I said Wings, too.
Wings, like, all the stuff with Michael Jackson. I love Paul McCartney. All that stuff's fantastic.
It's hard not to love Paul McCartney. Yeah. Did you get his, and I know it's like 3 or 4 years old now, but his last solo album he came out with? I'll look it up real quick here while
I'm pretty sure I listened to it when it came out. I think I streamed it when it came out. He's had some interesting projects.
Yeah, the album was...
What was the one with the apple pie, or flaming pie, back in like 2003 or something? Mm. That was really interesting, too.
I'm not familiar with
that. I love Paul McCartney.
It must be the... they don't have it on here. Anyway, it was the newish album that he had came out with. I have it at home on vinyl. I just haven't.
Okay. But
I love that whole album.
I really want to see Paul McCartney live where it's too late, but I think it might be either outpriced or too late as it is right now.
Isn't it like $300 for like nosebleed
seats? It's expensive
seats?
To see Paul McCartney. And it sells out fast in the aftermarket. The secondary market is crazy. It's like $3,000 for a nosebleed seat. Secondary market,
it's ridiculous.
It's like Rolling Stones tickets. It's crazy. I really want to see Paul McCartney, but I just don't know if it's in the cards for me in my life. I think it might be dollar short and a day late.
You know who I recently kind of started to fall in love with that I never thought I would, that I want to see too before they're done, are the Stones.
Yeah.
I think
I think it's because it's our age, man. Like, we grew up with the Stones as kind of being like, Mick Jagger was kind of like a cartoon character at that point, and he was the guy with the duck lips that walked funny and danced weird.
And it was but the opposite of everything.
The Stones are, and the Stones were. The Stones are badass. And like, Gimme Shelter, Brown Sugar,
Exile,
Honky Tonk Women.
Exile on Main Street Waiting is on a Friend. My favorite album by them. The first song on there was what made me like go, okay, the Rolling Stones did know what was up, you know.
Do you have a favorite Stone song?
Yes, it is. Because I've just kind of recently got into them, so I don't have their stuff memorized, but it would be Rocks Off.
That's really, really good.
Yeah.
I think I got to go with Waiting on a Friend. I like that song. Waiting on a Friend or Gimme Shelter. I know it's cliched, Gimme Shelter is, but...
No.
Dude, Gimme Shelter's a badass tune. Also, like, once you've watched Casino, you love Gimme Shelter.
That's a good point. Man, I haven't seen that album or that movie in a while.
Casino's classic. I love Casino. I love any movie with De Niro and mobs and casinos and gangster stuff.
So anyway.
Stones, properly rated, underrated, overrated? I'm going to say properly rated.
I'm going to say properly rated.
But I'm going to say if you're sub 30, you don't get it.
Yeah.
Or sub 25 for sure.
Well, I don't know.
Because there was a brief renaissance in the mid-90s with the Stones for us when they... Brown Sugar was everywhere for a while there. It seemed like it. Start Me Up was everywhere. But it seems like if you're 25, let's say you're 20, I think you might have missed the boat. Unless you go back to Discover Room.
Well, in music, I mean, guitars, I mean, like outside of country music, you know, where are guitars at anymore? I mean, no one cares about that tone anymore and those
pathetic
sounds.
That's anyway. My angry side. What do I got next to my list? Who do I got here? Oh, that's your next.
Went the wrong way.
Hey, it's okay. It's okay. It's a Christmas episode. We're in the Christmas spirit. It's like two friends having a cup of coffee. Just talking Christmas. It's all this is. Talking music.
All right, next one.
This is you.
The DMX.
Which started as a joke and now is a real thing.
Yeah, I had a bunch of buddies tell me about this, you know, and they kept sending me stuff. And I was like, all right, DMX sings Christmas. That's cool. I mean, I grew up loving DMX. Had a couple of his albums and
DMX
Rough
makes you want to party.
You know, and then I finally checked it out the other day when I was making my list for this because Spotify had the big, like, list of all those people doing. And, yeah.
So, here's DMX singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yeah. And it's as ridiculous as it sounds, but it's also yet fantastic at the same time.
You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall,
what's that?
The most famous reindeer of all. Come on!
Why does it work?
I don't know.
Why does it work? Dude, it's like it's so stupid and over the top that it works and it's fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know whoever thought of that.
There's a bark in there, there's a growl. What? Huh?
It's everything it was supposed to be.
Very genius. Because DMX hasn't done anything relevant since 1999.
No.
So that was perfect timing. Just, almost 20 years later. He's still DMX.
So anyway, next up we got your Stevie Wonder.
Someday at Christmas. Someday at Christmas, there'll be no war. When we have learned what Christmas is for, when we have found what life's really worth, there'll be peace. That's that sweet spot Christmas feeling right there.
Yeah, very.
Little Stevie, too. It was little Stevie, young Stevie, that was.
Not all, you know, hugs and feel goods
it's
and got
all a message.
That. Yeah.
That's that think
it's
about
that sweet
it.
Spot, yeah.
Yeah, you know. Someday Christmas, men will be boys, not playing with bombs like cute little toys. It's good stuff. It's and I just love the song.
Well, it's Stevie.
Yeah. I had a hard time going between that one and This Christmas on there, the other one I have on the list, on the top 10. They're both on the list, though, this week. But I went back and forth in those two Stevie Wonder songs. Mm-hmm. I thought, which one should be in the top five? But this one is always, like, the opening bells in it and Stevie, and it's just perfect. I love that song.
Yeah, I didn't.
There's not much to go into in Christmas music besides, oh, I love it, makes me feel good.
Yeah.
That's about all the analysis we need on this stuff. I mean, it's what it is. It's just a really sweet, tender song, and it's late at night. If you got the fire going, you sit by it, just enjoy yourself, and it's like, Christmas.
Your list kind of blew me away with the fact of, like, I didn't know a lot of these Christmas songs existed, you know?
What? Yeah,
I'm a little... When Christmas time for me is usually... I'll just go into my next one here with this. It's usually a lot of jazz.
Sure.
Christmas jazzy stuff. And then all the stuff that I remember from, like, Christmas Vacation and, like, the Home Alones and stuff
for
like
me,
that.
For me, it's once I start DJing company parties and stuff and Christmas parties, I got dinner hour, social hour. I make these huge lists full of all this cool music. And it just plays. And it just really gets people in that Christmassy, pumpy mood.
Sure.
It's fun. I love this stuff. So yeah. you got...
I learned a lot.
Vince Guaraldi, this next one, right?
Yes, I do. The piano player for the Peanuts, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
And it's probably my favorite Christmas album, for sure.
Which one is this? Is this Greensleeves or what is it?
This is O Tannenbaum.
Oh, here we go.
Yep. Makes me want to, like, what it makes me want to do, and I usually end up doing it, is I'll come, like, up to Dickinson up here, or I'll go to Bismarck or something, and I'll get a nice big cup of Joe, mm-hmm. and anybody that wants to come with me, and I just put this album in on loop, and I drive around the Christmas lights.
That's great. Yeah. That's perfect for it, because it's probably the most, to me, that's a quintessential Christmas sound right there.
Yeah.
That the Charlie Brown Christmas album, the Vince Guaraldi one, is perfect.
Yeah, I love
from
it.
From start to finish, you play the whole thing, and it's just like, Christmas.
It's got a little bit of all of it in there. Yeah.
Greensleeves. Does that one with Greensleeves?
Yep.
Greensleeves. Skating?
Yep.
The Linus and Lucy song's on there,
I'm pretty
right?
sure I have Skating on my full 10.
Skating's great.
I have a couple Vince Guaraldi songs.
I should play one here real quick on this one. Just a bonus one real quick for the people. Talk sure. Here, pull out. Let's pull up some Vince Guaraldi here.
Yeah, this... you know, I was trying to think of some other... Do you remember the Claymation Christmas?
Yep.
From there? Yeah, that one was another.
Let's. What do I have on my... I have my computer here, and I have a bunch of the stuff. Oh, I have Christmas Time Is Here. What Child Is This? Here's Skating. We just got to play Skating for the people.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yep. Like that little piano line that comes in here.
And then there's also Greensleeves, which is...
Christmas song, I think.
Well, everyone knows this one, right? This is...
Yep.
Christmas. It's got the vocals in it. The require?
Well, the version, the vinyl I have has both. It has just the instrumental and without the, and with the choir.
And then, of course, there's the one song that everyone, no matter what decade you're born, knows is...
Yeah.
When is this?
I was in a band with a mutual friend of ours long, long ago.
Did you guys play that?
No. Luke would sit and he would play it on bass and he'd do the...
I remember that.
And I'd bother him to do that almost every show. Because, yeah, he'd play the all of everything.
A guitar update. Still playing.
Okay.
There was a slight couple weeks break with some stuff moving and busyness, but very slowly learning Jingle Bells at the moment.
There you go.
Having a hard time going in the chorus from a couple chords, but we're getting there, though. I got the first verse and the first parts of the chorus down. So once I get that, we'll be good to go. Yeah.
You'll have to show me. I'm excited. I've been waiting... Like once, you know, you got
show
a lot.
You like a song.
No, you got a lot going down. I just to come up and jam, whatever. Even if we just sit and jam on two chords for 10 minutes and
I can
whatever.
I can play a little bit. I can play Millionaire by Chris Stapleton. I got that.
Oh, nice.
And I got
that's on the new album, right?
That's on, not Millionaire. I'm sorry, I got the wrong song. That is on the new album. I have Broken Halos figured out.
Oh, okay.
I play Broken Halos. And then I got I can do a Ron, our friend Ron Rhodes, Rockin' Ron.
Sure.
Taught me a poor man's version of Free Fall, and I can play.
Ah. Nice.
It's just D with the pinky down and up the whole time.
Yep.
It's perfect. All right. It's me next, right?
You've got one. This is the one that was on both of our top 10 lists. You got a Nat King Cole's version of the Christmas song.
Oh, because it's the best version.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only one you need, people.
It is the only one you need.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols.
And Nat King Cole, why? You know, I talk about Sam Cooke a lot if people hear me talk about music and, you know, from that era. Because Sam Cooke's around that era, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
But
I never, or at least around ish. But yeah, I need to check out some more Nat King Cole.
I think it's one of those things where maybe you just got so commercialized, like Unforgettable and stuff, and some of those songs, you're just like, oh, yeah. It's like Sinatra for some people. Oh, yeah, it's Sinatra. But
which
like,
is weird.
There's so much Sinatra stuff.
Yeah.
There's so much Nat King Cole stuff we should probably look into.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah. That's your next deep dive, Nat King Cole.
I think so.
Lose yourself a whole night in Nat King Cole. That'd be great.
Yeah, I bet you they've got on Spotify, I bet you they got a big, like, 50-song essential list that I can just...
Well, and like that song right there, to me, that's quintessential Christmas as well. That's like, immediately I want to get like in flannel pajama pants with like a cup of cocoa or coffee and sit by a fire or a Christmas tree and look at the lights with the lights off and just TV off, just music playing and just enjoying the ambiance of Christmas. I just love that feeling.
Yeah, this was the second one that came to my head immediately when we talked about doing it way before I even made the list. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Nah.
What do you got next, buddy?
Next up, this is my favorite Christmas song. This is, have to listen to this every year. Makes me feel the best on the insides. Frank Sinatra, just talking about him. And Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Great one.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. I got to listen to that one every year. So, yeah. Christmas time.
I love Christmas. Everything about it. It is the most wonderful time of the year.
You know, the only thing I don't like about Christmas is when it's gone. Because, like, winter becomes a reality after Christmas is done. Then it's like, oh, well.
It's cold up here.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of wind. And it's dark at 4:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a reason for it feeling like this anymore, huh?
You know, I try to be the ultra-positive guy when it comes to daylight savings time and winter and stuff. Like, it's, hey, we live here. We know the deal. Mm-hmm. We do it every year. But just Sunday night, I was like, God, it's 4:30, and it's dark, and I feel bushed for no reason. This stinks.
Yeah.
I fell asleep on the couch watching a football game like an old man. I'm like, man, this just sucks. I should be outside on my deck or something or, like, hanging out or... But here we are.
Yeah, like we were talking, the thing that bums me out the most is just, you know, I live at least an hour away from most people that I normally hang out with, you know, and all that. So, like, I don't get to see people as much because, you know, you're done with work or you get a day off and you're like, oh, it's cold. And
it's late, cold, and dark, and you don't want to travel somewhere sometimes. And it's like, eh, you know. And so going out's a hassle because you get to bundle up and stuff. And so you got to fight cabin fever. It's a real thing. It really is up here. Because by usually mid-January, you get stir crazy and it's like, I need people and things to do because this is not good for me. You got to fight it.
I think January, once I get the full cabin fever, I think that's when I want to try to plan a whoever can come along a Deadwood trip because I want to go to the cigar bar.
Yeah, you're going to love that. You're going to love that.
You know, so.
Get some cigars and enjoy some cold brews and some blues music. That's good for the soul right there. Go get stir crazy and go gamble a little bit and have some fun.
Yeah, that's my plan. I think I'm going to solve my cabin fever that way. But anyway, should we talk about what's we got down the line for next episode?
So we're going to do a year in review.
Yeah.
Our top tens, the whole deal.
Yeah, essentially kind of how we come up with this is Spotify every year, if you haven't done it or checked it out yet, they accumulate what you've listened to all year by the amount of plays, and they tell you your favorite 100 songs of the past year. And then they also tell you
how many minutes you listen
to, how many artists.
Top artists, all that stuff's on there. It's crazy. What would you have, like 48,000 minutes of music you listen to?
Yeah, it was ridiculous. That, and like, I thought about it, and I'm like, there's probably at least another 15,000 minutes of vinyl listening on top of that. And just, it makes a guy feel a little bit like,
nah, because it's not like you're not, like you're just sitting in a chair, you're doing things while you listen to music. You're always doing stuff. I am too. You always got something going on. I didn't get Spotify till August. I was at Amazon Music Unlimited.
I did the math. You were pretty much on track. If you would have had it the whole year, we would have been almost neck and neck, I think.
No surprise to me. My top two artists were Jason Isbell and Jason Isbell in the 400 unit. And then Pearl Jam was in there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then my entire top 10 is pretty much, it's all Isbell. So
I'm excited. Well, you know, it's a good way to get it out of the way.
Yeah. It's nothing
Not
wrong
out of
with
the
that.
Way, but you know.
Nothing wrong with that. I know. Yeah, it's like, to me, I think he's been the most, for me, the most dynamic and interesting artist of 2017, I thought he was, and the most important artist of this year, in my opinion. So it's pretty cool that I dived that hard, and I got to see him in concert. That always helps, too. When you see someone in concert, you're like, ah, and it changes everything for you a little bit. So
mine was interesting because I'd opened it up, and I kind of had an idea of what at least some of the top three were going to be. And it was totally different, and I'm like, what's going on? And then I remember, like, there was a playlist that I had that I didn't know was, like, because I had left and I forgot my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And for a whole day and a half, it was the same, like, eight songs playing in a loop.
It just kept going over and over?
It kept going over and over and over on my iPad. And it was plugged in. And I had headphones in it, too, you know, and all
just
that.
Just kept going the whole time.
So, it was like this weird hip-hop mix I had for, like, Ballin' or something like that. So I was like, yeah, I don't even like that song that much. Why is this top three? And then some of them were, like, songs I used for practicing for the band. Sure. So I had to really filter out.
Yep.
But it was cool. There's a few in there. I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
I think we'll also pick our favorite albums of the year.
Yeah.
In that episode, too.
Sounds good.
And then we should. I'm thinking out loud. This is for the listeners. Maybe we should just do like a artist to watch 2018, maybe.
Yeah.
Like a little here, check this guy out. Keep your eyes on him. Yeah, it'd be good. It'd be fun.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, wrap the year up and I'm down for whatever.
Keep rolling along. Well, Luke, as always, it's been good, man. This is kind of an abridged episode, but it's Christmas, and it's we went right to the point, hit the sweet spots, and here we are, so it's all good.
Yeah.
I love it, man. Real quick, we do this on Saved by the Boys a lot. We did a favorite Christmas gifts as a kid. Do you have any good memories you want to share, favorite gifts as a kid?
You know, I was chatting with my mom the other day about this when I was 8 years old or something. I wasn't expecting it, and we got a Super Nintendo. And she got us Donkey Kong Country, and I remember, like, that's probably the Christmas I remember the most, being like, what?
Donkey Kong Country was the one with, the levels, like, I know they all have barrels, but I remember that one, like, where you could, for the first time, you could, like, jump backwards on the level and stuff, like, the scene you were in, I remember.
Oh, yep.
It was,
yep.
Like, we're like, oh, I can go backwards now? Because it was always, like, you went forward in the game, and you were done.
Yep.
But on NES, Super NES, you could move all the way around.
Yeah, or you go all the way to the beginning of it.
Yeah, that was big stuff.
So yep. I'd say probably. What about you? What was your...
For me, it was that Nintendo I got, too, when I was like 5 years old.
Yeah, I
got the Nintendo with Duck Hunt, the Super Mario number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a few months later, my mom got me the wrestling game, the I think it was like WrestleMania or like Wrestling Challenge.
Super Slam or something maybe.
Yeah.
Or SummerSlam, I mean.
Well, there was one with Starman that was on there. That was like a generic wrestling one. Mm-hmm. Like made by Nintendo with Starman and some different characters. Like Loch Ness Monster and stuff. But I got a WWF one with Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, and Ted DiBiase. And I remember there's only like 8 guys you could choose from. But I played the hell out of that game though all the time.
Yeah, I think I had SummerSlam for Super Nintendo. I played that a lot.
There was Royal Rumble on Super Nintendo that was really popular. That was fun. That was the first time you could have more than like 4 guys in the ring at one time. Mm-hmm. And you could have the matches. That was really cool. And then
yeah, I didn't have that one.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Well, while we're at it, I was going to bring this up anyway. What are your, let's say, should you do top 3 or 5 Christmas must-watch movies, even though this is a music
podcast?
This
is good. Good call. Well, it's still Christmas, though. It's Christmas stuff. Movies you must watch at Christmas. My list is going to be pretty straight down the line. A Christmas Story, mm-hmm. my all-time favorite. You know, You'll Shoot Your Eye Out, Kid. Red Ryder, BB Gun, the whole deal. Number 2 is Christmas Vacation. Mm-hmm. Remember that time we did a gig and drove to it and watched Uncle? We watched Grumpy Old Men at Christmas Vacation on the way to the gig and back that time. We did a school dance somewhere. No, we did a wedding. In Velva or something, I think it was.
Oh, I vaguely remember.
Remember
this.
That like old like VFW or Eagles Club? We had like we hauled up the steps. There's pictures of us with the chicken from that one. The bride.
Oh yeah, that was. I remember
Sawyer
that one.
Or Velva, I think one of those towns.
Funny story about that. I had just started DJing.
Yeah, you were pretty new.
And like maybe a month and a half into it, and Brock, you know, hands his mic and he's like, say something. And I was just supposed to introduce the next song and just be like, or I was just supposed to say, like, clap your hands or something like
Come
that.
Come on, make some noise.
And it just came out, hey, man.
That's all it. But that's, remember that on the way to that gig, we watched Grumpy Old Man on the way there. Because we had a portable DVD player with a flip up screen, which is big stuff in 2006-5. And then we watched Christmas Vacation on the way back. I love those two movies. So, Christmas Story. Christmas Vacation, It's a Wonderful Life, those three.
We're doing top 3. Do you want to do 5?
Yeah, we can do 5. After that, I need Grumpy Old Men. To me, that's a Christmas movie. The first one is. And the number 5, this is tough, Christmas with the Cranks.
That's a good one.
It's a really good one, yeah.
In no particular order.
Yeah, no ranking order.
I would say, well, for sure, it's got to be Christmas Vacation. That's my
favorite.
That's
unbeatable. So quotable. Everyone likes it.
Mm-hmm. And then Grumpy Old Man, first one, I'd say. And then Die Hard, for sure. That's a Christmas movie to me.
It is. You're right. It is. That's controversial, but it is.
and then, boy. I'd have to say one of the Home Alones and then like...
Ooh, Home Alone's a good one, man. That's a really good one.
You know, I'm going to throw this out there. I had gotten into an argument online. Not an argument, but just chat about they said it's horrible. But I like the Jim Carrey's Grinch Who Stole Christmas. I really like that one.
That's a good movie.
I had two people who were like, that's horrible. And
no,
I was like, whatever.
That's a hot take thing. That's a good movie. We watched it the other day with the girls. It was fantastic. It was really good.
Yeah, it just gives me the warm Christmassy feels. I like
it. It was cute. It was good. It was fun. I like that. Honorable mention for The Polar Express. That's a good one, too.
Oh,
Tom Hanks
one.
That's really good. And then... I know it's Thanksgiving, but I always watch it on Christmas. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I was just had a chat with someone about
that.
They're
training it for Thanksgiving, but to me, it's a holiday movie. It's like putting that holiday spirit somehow. Yeah. Just the winter and everything and the family. And it's
That's a must, too.
Love Christmas, buddy. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good memories, good times. All right, folks. Till next time, we'll see you here right before New Year's with our year in review. It's going to be a good one. And for Luca and Brock, we'll see you guys soon. Here we go.